Thank you for downloading The Magpod, a podcast from the Magpie Anthology. I'm Tom Stroud, and in this episode we're joined by Rouse Limited for the voice of the expert, and we're talking money and financial planning with Ben Rouse and Ben Silk from Rouse Limited. In this episode we're talking about investments versus gambling. Ben Silk, what does that mean?
Well, a lot of people, when they have some money, they want to put the money in when the investments are doing well, but as soon as things start going poorly, they want to take it all off the table, wait for things to get better, and then put their money back into the market, thus negating any of the potential downside risk of being in the market as it falls.
So is there a good time to invest? Is there a bad time? What is now like? Is now a good time to invest?
There's never a good time. And there's never a bad time. The point that we're trying to get across is that trying to second guess what's going to happen to any investment that you go into other than cash the next day after you've done it is impossible. And I'll say to clients, you understand that doing this £10,000 investment, you are going to crash the world stock markets with this tomorrow. And you may well wake up and find that it's worth less than it is. And it's meant to provoke a reaction because I want people to understand that their investments can go up and down. But it's our job to make sure that you haven't put money into an investment which you are going to want to access within a very short space of time, because that's where the danger lies. So gambling is putting your money on a specific event happening. Investment, from our perspective, is putting together a wide-ranging portfolio, investing in all sorts of different things, accepting that there's going to be some ups and downs. But the long-term aim with an investment portfolio is to beat inflation, so the price of things. You know, there's no point in having a pot of money which you buy, you know, your weekly shop this week, but next week you can only buy three quarters of it. I'm being rather oversimplified there, but the reality with investment is that we are trying to beat that inflation increase, the cost of prices going up, and also get something on top of that. Anybody that comes through a good financial planner should have set aside money for emergencies, and everything else should be working as hard as possible and investing and not really worrying too much about what is going on in the world at that particular point. One of the key points that people come up with when we're talking about doing investments is they say, well, you know, whether it's Brexit or the dot-com boom or a new war or something like that, you know, people will always say, I think I'm just going to wait until things settle down. And what that means to an investment market is you're going to wait until it's more expensive. So why would you do that? If that's the attitude, you shouldn't be going into the investment. And we haven't done our job in getting that point across about understanding that you're going to get ups and downs.
It's not going to be the things that you can foresee that are going to trip up an investment along the way. It's going to be the thing that comes straight out of left field that no one was planning for and nobody expected. Those things that are out there that we're all talking about, that we all know about, there are ways that you can mitigate some of the risks of that. It's the stuff that we're not talking about that will happen that are going to trip people up along the way.
So as an investment manager who looks after funds, are those the kind of things that give you a headache?
Of course, yes. I get the same conversations with the stuff that's in the paper all the time, but it's the things that I'm trying to find out that people don't know about to try to protect the portfolios in that aspect. In reality, I'm not going to be able to prevent any downturn affecting the investments. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to limit that downturn.
So let's talk in terms of an investment portfolio. If I come to you with £50,000 and I want to do something with it, where does that money go if you are spreading that in a variety of places? What sort of investments do you advise people to consider?
Well, the first point we would start with, Tom, is do you need any of this money in the short term? Do you need an income from this money? Is this money to be invested on behalf of somebody else? Is there anybody else involved that could hold some of the investment for you, like a partner, a wife? Then once we know what we're dealing with, we can build a portfolio that will offer you the growth within the constraints that you've given. So if you're after an income, we'll make sure there's some income producing investments in there. If you're after a 5-10 year investment, we might be reducing the risk as we go. If it's for your retirement, Tom, 40-50 years in the future, then we can take a longer play on it. And the kind of things that we'll put in there, most portfolios are built of fixed interest, cash, commercial property, equities, and commodity. And depending on your attitude to risk, your capacity for loss, they will be held in a portfolio in varying weightings.
So let's talk about the conversations that you have, because I might come to you and say, well, look, I don't understand this. You know this better than me. Go ahead. And to what extent are you empowered to take decisions? How much do people actually want to know, or indeed need to know, about where every penny goes? Because you can't follow every penny, can you?
Well, actually, we probably can. The reality is, though, that when you come and see us, you don't want to know where every penny is. Yeah. If you want to ask us where it is, we can tell you. So we have a wide range of clients. I think we have over 4,000 in total. And in terms of sort of money under management, we're up at about 330 million. So it's a lot of money spread around a lot of different clients. The situation with that is that most of those people are buying into a trusting relationship with us as a firm. And we've been going for many, many years. And actually, what we find is that most people don't really want to know the detail. We do provide them with the detail because we're duty bound to. And actually, one of our big bugbears in terms of providing advice is it's so difficult for us to provide simple, clear advice because we're forced through the Financial Conduct Authority to give all sorts of information which can fog up what we're actually trying to get across as a point. So what we see as one of our core required skills is to dilute the financial planning service into something which is in plain English that we can get across points in a very simple way. And then we back that up with as much technical information as you want as an individual client. So if you do want to know what the alpha score is and the Sharpe ratio, we can have all those things. If you just want to know that the money's going to be around when you need it, we can show you how we've put the portfolio together to give you the best effort to achieve that.
Okay, traditionally someone might have said, if I've got money, I should put it in property. Property is a safe bet. And there was a time when actually the stock market was looking pretty good. And within that, there were certain growth areas. Where are you advising that money goes?
A spread as far apart as possible, because yes, property will have its day. Yes, equities will have their day. So what we like to have is we like to have a little bit of everything. In a more aggressive portfolio, it might be concentrated. It might be 100% equities. Those equities might be in the UK. They might be in the US. They might be in the emerging markets. With a more cautious portfolio, there's probably more in the fixed interest cash, but there will be an element of property. There will be an element of equities. Every day I see something that I think, that's going to do well today, but tomorrow it might not do so well and it'll be something else. So by having this broad approach, we can make sure that we have got a position that is taking advantage of the markets on that particular day. What we do is we try to tilt the asset allocation where we see opportunities. So for instance, if we see an opportunity in emerging market equities, we might increase slightly our emerging market equity exposure, but it won't be to the total loss of another asset class. It'll be to a reduction, but it won't be the total removal of that, because we still need that to balance the portfolio.
You immediately mentioned property. So your definition of property would be different to our definition of property. The property you're talking about generally is residential property in the UK market. We try and look at things a bit wider than that. So as far as we're concerned, we're looking at worldwide property, and we're also looking at shares in property, so property share companies, which are much more liquid. You know, we've got a lot of clients who've got quite extensive property portfolios, but the issue is you can't spend a bit of a property. And if there's no one in there paying rent, it's worthless to you. So actually, one of the issues of holding property is that illiquidity situation. So the diversification and the way that we invest in property by using property shares allows us to be able to access a bit of property if we need to do that. And because it's spread across a lot of different underlying properties, there's always rent coming in. So yeah, that's the sort of diversification thing. And there's two things that we know about investment. One is that diversification reduces risk. So, you know, if you spread your investments across a number of different investments, you will have less risk. And the other thing is, you know, we need to keep a cap on costs. And that's something that Ben is very good at, because he will look at funds that we're trying to access to fill our portfolios, and it will do an assessment of cost to see whether we're actually getting the right value for the investments that we're making.
And these are measured long-term investments, aren't they? We're not talking about a Wolf of Wall Street scenario. Sell, sell, today's been a particularly bad day. Getting on the phone, I need to talk to you right now. This is not the kind of environment that you work in.
No, not me, no. I pick people to look after the money that do that, though. So I have a lot of meetings with the managers of the funds that we pick for our portfolios, which is part of the due diligence. And as Ben said, if I can highlight two funds that are fairly similar in their mandate, fairly similar in their long-term returns, I'm going to plump for the one with the cheapest cost, because there's no guarantee that that return will continue. But if they're doing the similar job, one's cheaper, that will be the one to pick and put into the portfolio.
Okay, so advice time. If I was going to come to you with a certain amount of money that I knew I wanted to invest in some way, what questions should I be asking myself or preparing to ask you?
If you're coming along for the first time with maybe you've inherited some money, or you've had a bonus at work or whatever, the places to start are, do I have any debts? Now, and if I have got debts, is there any benefit in clearing those debts? If it's a very cheap mortgage and it's part of your standard monthly expenditure, then it's probably not worth clearing that. Second thing is, you know, is there something coming along the line which I know I'm going to have to need some cash for? So, you know, maybe a new car or the roof's going to need repairing. And the third thing is, do I already have a pot of money set aside for the stuff that I don't know about? And we would normally say you should have something equivalent to around 6 to 12 months, depending on how secure your income is, of cash set aside for emergencies, the stuff that you don't know about. There's a pot for the stuff you don't know about. On top of that, anything that you need probably for the next 3 years, I would say. And then beyond that, we'll actually then talk about investment. And that's where we would do a more in-depth questioning of you to say, right, if you made an investment and you found out tomorrow it was worth 10% less, how would you feel about that? Would you sell it? Would you buy some more? Would you perhaps hedge your bets and take a bit out? How do you feel about these things? And we would spend a lot of time trying to get to understand how you think about risk, not just investments, but all sorts of risk. And by having those questions, we will come up with our experience, having dealt with many, many people, with a selection of investments that will match what we think you will be able to tolerate as a risk. Now, some people might say, oh no, I would always take a massive risk. I really want to make sure that I get the best possible returns. I'm not worried if it drops. Our job then is to say, can you afford to be like that? Is there something coming which might call on that cash? And if there is, then we'll say, I'm very sorry, you know, appreciate you want to take a lot of risk and get a big return, but actually we don't feel that would be in your best interest and you should take a bit less.
We would also ask you, what do you want to invest in? Is there anything in particular that you're keen to see your money working on? Is there anything that you don't want to invest in? Have you got any ethical or moral beliefs that you want to be woven into the investment strategy that we finally build for you? So it is possible to exclude something or positively include something and still keep something that is a balance of risk that you're comfortable with.
Okay, well, in our next episode, we're going to be talking about retirement and pensions. But for now, if you want to find out more about Rouse Limited, a team of independent financial planners based on the Isle of Wight, you can find out more and download more episodes of the MagPod at magpieonline.co.uk.